Good morning. Well, I want to say, and I'll say again, no doubt, in the next couple of days, what a joy it is and an honor to be a part of your Thanksgiving revival services. And I think it is right to be praying for one for another. I was mentioning one of the songs that said, "Pray for us in our ills." There's a lot of that going around. I was telling Pastor, I got word from our church at home. People are having to trade. The Sunday school teachers were gone, or the nursery workers, because so much sickness. So I don't know if we're plagued with a plague or what's going on, but and I know you've been dealing with that here too. So thankful to be here. I was just telling one of the men this morning, I said, keep your fingers out of your mouth, that's for sure, and wash your hands, okay? All right. I'm going to fasten your seatbelt. I'm going to teach you a lesson through a whole book of the Bible this morning, 3 John. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, turn to 3 John. And you may or may not know, this is the shortest book of the Bible. It's like 2 verses shorter than 2 John. It has more verses than 2 John, one more verse, but I think it's 296 words in 3 John, 298 words in 2 John. John was a man of few words, but boy, they're powerful. And here in 3 John, well, just look at verse number 1. We'll kind of get underway here. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. As you know, John would often speak to him of himself in the third person. He wouldn't often refer to himself by name, though the only time he did is when you go over a few pages to the right to the book of the Revelation, and he does speak, use his name there. But he was very selfless and very humble. And here, of course, he refers to himself as the elder. It's believed he was probably about 90 years of age, or maybe a year or two older than that. He's the sole survivor of the disciples. Of course, some believe he may have written 3 John from Patmos. I'm more persuaded that he was still in Ephesus, but shortly thereafter he was exiled, of course, to Patmos. So this is very late in his life. This is late in what you would call the first century of the church age. And he says he's writing to Gaius. Now, I think there are 3 different Gaiuses in the New Testament. This one is thought to believe Gaius of Derbe, who you would know later on became a member of Paul's missionary team. But John, it's believed that this Gaius he's writing to was one of his products, you could say, one of his converts in his ministry. Look at what he says in verse number 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So it's very personal for John, his address here to Gaius. Here's the question I want you to contemplate here this morning for a moment. Have you ever given serious consideration to the transmission from God's word through the instrument of man? Like when John wrote this letter, we know it is to be, I'm looking for an amen here, we know this to be the inspired word of God. Amen. Every jot, every tittle, hey? Amen. And so get that right up front. I'm not in any way doubting or trying to take away from the credibility. This is God's word. 3 John is God's word. And it's a message from God. But could it be? How might this have transpired? When John sat down to write a personal letter, now we know there are several personal letters in the New Testament. We think of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and even Luke's gospel. I call it Luke 1 and 2. Luke 1 is the gospel. Acts is Luke 2. He's writing to Theophilus. So again, a personal letter, you could say. So when John sat down to write this letter to Gaius, did he have some sense that God was directing what he said? Or maybe what he said, God kind of came alongside and said, "That's good, Gaius." Or, I mean, "That's good, John, what you're writing to Gaius." Because he calls him his child, you know, he's my children. He said, "This is what I'd write to my children." And so, you know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, you may recall, regarding a sentence or two he wrote to the church there in Corinth. He said, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment." So again, did he know what he wrote at first was directly from God. God has impressed upon him to write this, and then as he was writing this, this came to his mind, and so he wanted to add this. He said, by permission, but God would say, yeah, Paul, add that, because that's what I want added. Again, as you contemplate it, and I've read commentary after commentary about this thing of inspiration, and really there's no good explanation other than to say, by faith, we know that this is God's Word. And Peter himself said, you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy than just his personal testimony. And he talked about holy men of God that penned the Word of God. And I've often said, the best illustration I've had is, you know, I could pick up a pen and I could write you a letter. And you would say, well, the pen wrote the letter. I didn't, you know, I don't have any ink in my finger. The pen wrote the letter, but no, come on. In the real practical sense, I wrote the letter. I used this pen to write it. Well, God picked up these men as pens, you could say, and he wrote his word. And so again, here when John's writing this letter, we do know that it's God's word. But again, exactly how the transmission took place, one day we'll know when we get to heaven altogether. But we just need to understand God wrote this not just to Gaius. He wrote this to us. And so I want to kind of go through this, and I want you to receive it in this way. Let's just take out the name Gaius here. Look at verse 1 again. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Take out Gaius, put a blank there, and write your name. Because, come on, I said in a practical sense, God wrote this to you. God's a personal God. He knows how many hairs are in our head. I've heard all the jokes. I don't want to hear them again. But, come on, he knows everything about us, and he loves us, and he cares about everything about us. And so he writes this whole book to us personally. Well, we need to receive it that way. And so as we go through it here this morning, I want to kind of emphasize that. Just receive it as if God were writing this to you, and put your name in. And when we read these verses and go through it, I want you, come on now, I want you to receive it in that way. God wrote this to me. And these are things, again, I think he would say to me. And John's going to talk about things about Gaius that he commends him and he's concerned for him about. Well, I say to you, God would say, that's good, John, because that's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'd say to my children, and I do say to my children. And so I want you to receive it that way. So what is it, again, that God would have us know, or he would speak to or commend in our individual personal lives? And I trust you can personalize it here. Number one, look at verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I said the first thing, God cares about our worth. You are very precious to the Lord Jesus. Notice he says, beloved. Look in verse number 5. He uses it again. Beloved. Look at verse number 11. Beloved. Do I need to explain what beloved means? Very dear. Very, very special. Come on. We are very special to the Lord. We know that rat, Satan, the Lucifer, he's the accuser of the brethren. Isn't he a dirty dog? I mean, he'll tempt you to do something. And God forbid, but when we cave into it on occasion, then he's the first to point an accusing finger at us and say, you're worthless. You sorry? You know, and he's the accuser of us. But I'm telling you, God's not the accuser of us. He's the Savior of us. And he loves us. And so I'm telling you, you are of great value to the Lord. Don't ever believe the lie that Satan will tell you that you're of no worth. Let me speak to you as a former pastor. I'll be bold enough to say, I think I can stand in the place of your pastor today. Someone said, pastors don't count who are there. They count who's not there. But I want you to know, every one of you, I'm thankful you're here today. Amen. And I know there's some watching, I think of Brother John Stever, who'd like to be here today, who couldn't be. But I'm telling you, you are very precious to the Lord. And God's work, this institution called the church, is dependent. Come on, church isn't this building. It's people. And so you are very valuable Don't ever think, well, some Sunday they're not going to miss me. I'll tell you who will miss you. God will miss you for sure. And so you're very valuable. Your worth is very important to the Lord. Number two, and he kind of in the same verse there, I say your personal welfare. Look again, verse number two. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, we know our soul prospers. If you're saved, come on. Doesn't even matter what else happens. Hey, I know I'm saved. I have a home in heaven for all of eternity. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm in good shape. I'm in great shape. There's a place in Omaha. It's called Regency. It's where Warren Buffett lives and all these uppity-ups. Some of these great mansions. And I like to drive through there, and if I could meet one of those people, say, you know, this is nothing. You got to see what God's doing for me. You got to see my place. Come on, I have a home in heaven. How about you? Saved and you know it? Amen. So again, we know spiritually we are prospering. We prosper, absolutely. But he's talking about physically. He says that thou mayest be in health physically as thy soul prospereth. And let me say to you, we know we have a verse of Scripture again. We can cast all our care upon Him. Why? For He cares for us. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. Come on. And I, for the number of people here, only heaven knows the differences. But I'll tell you what, all of us have certain things we're facing. We live in a sin-cursed world, and those kind of conditions are all about us. But I'm telling you, God cares. Was it Jesus said, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Then he goes on to say, you're of more worth than many sparrows. Saw a little sparrow looking out the back of the apartment you've got us in there, just over there. And on the banister there was sitting a little sparrow. Had to be a newborn, I'm thinking. I thought about that. I thought, here's this little guy, and he jumps down in the grass, and he's eating away. And I thought, isn't God good, you know? If he cares about him, how much more, Jesus said, does God care about us? So I don't care what you're going through. Come on, God cares. You may think nobody else cares. It doesn't really matter if anybody else cares. God cares. Years ago, one of my Sunday school teachers came to me after between Sunday school and church. And she said, Pastor, something pretty precious happened in my class. I said, okay. She said, this little girl, I don't know, five or six, I could tell she was troubled about something. So I said, you know, I don't remember her name, Debbie. Saying, she said, Debbie, are you okay? No. And she started crying. Well, what's wrong, honey? He said, my goldfish died. Now, we would want to say, really? But to this little five-year-old girl, that was special. That was dear to her. Well, hey. Is dear to the Lord. Is anything too small, too insignificant for God to care? No. He cares. So again, your personal welfare. Come on. God cares about you. He takes a very personal interest in you. And then look at verse number three. God cares and is concerned for our walk in the truth. We know this passage probably more than any in 3 John. He says, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is an independent Baptist church, and I know Jeff Abel, so I know where this church stands. Amen. And I'm sure glad about it. Amen. Come on, aren't you glad you can come to a place and know you're going to hear the truth preached? Right. You don't have to come kind of with your guard up what you're going to hear today. No, you know what you're going to hear is right from the Word of God. Yes, amen. What a confidence. And you can bring lost friends. And aren't you glad you know they're going to hear the truth? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But here I'm telling you something more important than you just know the truth and hear the truth. Something more important. No, it's you walk in truth. James said it this way. Come on, don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of it. Now, that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's the real difference in the Christian life. A lot of Christians, and thank God someone said this, if you're saved, Jesus is your Savior. Amen. Amen. And that's forever. Hallelujah. But there's a difference. There's a little stepping up when He's your Lord. Okay, that's when He's in control of your life and you're yielded to His authority and His lordship. Okay, And so that's what John, he's thankful for Gaius. Man, the Lord is the Lord of Gaius' life, and he's walking in truth. So God cares about us. I've said, you know, I love our country, and I love American history, and I've often said, I wish I could have been born back about 1870, long as I could have my hot shower in the morning. Boy, we've gone, I don't want to chase this rabbit, I'll just say it for the record. Our country's gone so far from where we started. We have what I believe next to God's law is the greatest law on the face of the earth. It's called the Constitution. And the reason it is the greatest law on the face of the earth is because it's based on God's law. And you need to do your homework. They're not teaching it in school anymore by design. You need to do your homework. Thank God for our founders. And they purposed to establish... Oh, man. They purposed to establish a country based on truth. And they did. And no wonder in just short order a bunch of colonial farmers rose to be the greatest nation in the world in just the course of a couple of decades, really. Why? Because, man, hello. It should be no surprise. You base it on truth. What do you expect? Amen. So all that to say, thank God for the Constitution and for our founding. You know, the Supreme Court would really be good if it would just go by the law. Well, we'd be good if we go by the law. Come on, just go by the law. Enough already of commentary. Enough already of your spin. No, let's go by the law. I'm going to preach a little bit about that this morning. Let's get back to the Bible. What do you say? Let's get back to the Bible. Yeah. So again, you're walking the truth. God cares about your worth, your personal welfare. You're walking the truth. Number three, boy, this one needs to be preached today. I call it your church relationship. He cares about your church relationship. Look at verse number five. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Your church relationship. This church is God's institution. Someone as well said this is his lighthouse to the community. You could say this is his embassy. Do you know the most important business going on in Springfield, Missouri right now is right here? It's the Father's business. Nothing more important. Nothing more important. I said nothing more important. I have to bite my tongue sometimes visiting folks, you know, and trying to impress upon them the need of being in church. And I've heard all the things, you know, well, it's my only day off. Or, you know, we've got family coming in. I mean, I've heard all the... You're telling me, listen up, you're telling me that your business is more important than God's business? Really? Come on, this is important business here. David said, I rejoice when they said, let me go to the house of God. Amen, let me go to God's house. Come on, this is an oasis for believers. Get away from the stinking world for a while. Man, enjoy fellowship with God's people and, again, hear God's truth. And, I mean, it's all good. It's all good. Why would you not want to be here? What in the world's wrong with you? Come on, really? It's God's house. Yeah, your church relationship is very, very important to God. Come on, He established this institution to carry out His work in this dispensation. Come on, it's called the church age. Hello? You think it's important? Come on, enough already. Well, there's a football game. Goodness gracious, are you kidding me? God's business is the top. He wants first place. Hello. This is a Sunday school lesson. I keep forgetting I'm not supposed to be preaching yet. This is dear to my heart. In fact, I'll just give you a little sampling. Starting tonight and through the next two nights, we're going to be dealing with this important thing of the church. And the place it ought to be in our lives and in our homes and in our family and, come on, in our country. Churches closing by the droves. No wonder our country's in such a mess today. Yeah, all right. God cares about it. Your church relationship. Number five, your stand against ungodliness. Your stand against ungodliness. Look at verse number 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. I said a moment ago, God established this institution, the church, to make the difference in the world. Israel was plan A. They failed. They failed. So God instituted plan B. Somebody say amen. Yep. We Gentiles, come on. We dogs. Hello. Oh, that's us. We Gentiles, bunch of dogs. God said, I'll show you what I can do with anybody. So he established the institution called the church for this dispensation. And I know God's going to turn back to Israel, but not in this dispensation. It's the church age. Yeah. So again, this is the institution God established to make the difference. It's a sad commentary today. Biggest part of the problem in our country today is churches. So-called. I know many of them, so-called. They forfeited their credentials. I understand that. But I'm talking about there's a time past. There's a time past. I mean, the Methodists, the Anglicans, stood for something, at least for righteousness' sake. Boy, not anymore. They're promoting some of the most ungodly things in the world. But look out. We godly independent Baptist churches need to be careful. Because some of the very things John's dealing with here, sadly, can be said in our churches. You don't have a middle aisle here. A lot of churches do. And I've often said, it's a sad commentary that in some churches, the middle aisle is the DMZ. If you're a visitor and you happen to come in and sit on this side, you just alienated yourself from this side. They'll never talk to you. God help us.
Amen.
God help us. That's the condition here that John's speaking to. Look again, Diotrephes. He says, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would. Division among God's people. These things ought not so to be. And so we need to stand against evil. And I'll just get in a general sense. Come on. Enough already of the evil crowd being the squeaky wheel today. Aren't you up to here with this stuff?
Amen.
It's time for God's people to stand up and speak up. And speak the truth in love. I understand that. But speak the truth. The world needs to hear the truth. They're getting bombarded with a bunch of lies today. And they're buying into all this nonsense. They need to hear from us. Come on, that's why God established us. We're supposed to be making a difference. We're salt and we're light. That's what we're supposed to be. And thank God for churches that are that. And I thank God for Berean Baptist Church. I thank God for churches just like this. I've got one up in Bellevue, Nebraska. I'm thankful for churches like that. We need more of us. And the ones that are need to be what they're supposed to be and maintain it and stand against the evil. Stand against the drifting. Come on, we're all prone to it. What's our nature? Well, Isaiah spoke to it. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's our nature. We've got to resist our nature and be called to account. That's another reason we need to be in church. Be called to account and say, get back where you're supposed to be. Yeah. God help us to be. And so again, a stand against ungodliness. Thank God for a church like this that stands for what's right, stands against that which is wrong, and doesn't mince her. I know Jeff Abel doesn't mince his words. Come on, we need some plain speaking today. Yeah. Amen. And then look at verse number 12. I call this your companionships. And let me kind of pick on the young people here this morning. Kind of apply it to you more than anybody. But it applies to all of us. Your companionships. Look at verse number 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And you know that our record's true. Thank God for some Demetriuses. You got a good friend that's made a difference in your life? When the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. I'm so thankful as a pastor, as a preacher, for friends like Jeff Abels.
Amen, brother. That's right.
They get more precious as we go down the road.
That's right.
I have three girls. I maybe said it here before. I've said it many a time. I said, my wife said, three strikes and you're out. So I had three girls. But I got five grandsons now, so that's okay. But I'm thankful. All three of my girls are saved. Love the Lord. Serving the Lord. In good independent Baptist churches. My grandkids, all seven of them, are saved. Love the Lord. Serving the Lord.
Amen.
I don't take that lightly.
That's right.
And I've had people, Jeff, I've had preachers ask me, like, what do you credit with your family all serving the Lord? We've had my brother here. And when his family and my family are together, we don't have to leave certain topics alone. You know, come on, some of us can identify with that. You get a family together. This is a family gathering time. You know, there's just some things you can't talk about. Not so with my family. I mean, we're of one mind and one court, one heart, and it's all good. I don't take that lightly. That's a testimony to God. But people ask me, say, preacher, what do you credit with, you know, your girls turning out good? I said, well, for the most part, my wife. Because we homeschooled. My girls were with my wife 24/7, you could say. When they got a little older, she did a lot of the disciplining. I headed the thing up, but they were with her most of the time. So I credit my wife for that influence in their lives. But also credit, I had them around in the preacher realm. I had them around good preachers that loved the Lord and loved serving the Lord. Have you ever been around somebody that's bitter? You know, they're bitter preachers. God help us. A bitter person, that bitterness, watch out, it's a contagion thing. You get around the wrong kind of crowd, it'll have a negative influence on you. My grandmother said, I've heard her say this 100 times, she said, you lay down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. So watch the crowd you run with, you know what I'm saying? Watch the crowd you run with. But we had, I mean, Dave McCracken and Rich Farinella and Dave Brown and Jeff Abels and those kind of people, the ones I had my girls around, and they thought the ministry was great. Because it's fun, you know. Well, it is fun to serve the Lord. Come on, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And those kind of people are encouragement and a help to you. You need those kind of people around you. Don't run with the wrong crowd. I'm telling you, you'll end up like them. And so we're supposed to be an influence. I understand that. I used to tell my kids, don't be influenced, be an influence. Don't be influenced, be an influence. We're supposed to be the positive ones. But we need the positive reinforcement and the help we get as God has... Come on. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Why do people get cut... I know preachers that long rangers, they get off by themselves. And we need one another. We need the encouragement and the help that we glean from one another, which is another reason you need to be in church. What a great blessing you get from that right here. So again, he cares about our companionships. Then number 7, look at verse number 13. I'm really identifying with this one. I call it the shortness of time. He said, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. He goes on to say, but I shall shortly see thee. So time's running out. I just had a very sobering birthday last Saturday. I turned 75. I can't get my head around it. I've told many times, I remember I was 16, I'm shooting hoops in my driveway. Nobody else is there, I'm just shooting hoops. 16, I just turned 16. I'm thinking, 50 years, man. 50 years? I'll only be 66. 50 years, that's like forever. Where'd that go? I'm way past 50 years. What happened to that? Well, come on, James nailed it, didn't he? What is your life? It's a vapor. Appears for a little while and vanisheth away. Yeah. Come on, Jesus made all kinds of emphasis about come on, the night's coming when no man can work. We're supposed to be about the Master's business now. Don't say, well, one day I'm going to get involved. No, one day I'm going to... No, come on, one day ought to be today. The shortness of time, I'm telling young people, I'm telling you, you'll be right where I am in no time. You say, yeah, 75. I'm telling you, it happens, but I mean, it's gone. So you better get busy and get your head screwed on straight and give yourself to the Lord now. Make time while you have time, because before long it's gone. It's gone. The shortness of time. Last point, look at verse number 14. Now remember, I got to emphasize this when it comes to verse 14. Remember now, God's writing this to you. We can kind of generalize it. No, personalize it. God's writing this to you. Put your name in there. Okay. He's writing to you. And this is what he said in verse 14. But I trust I shall shortly see thee. We shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Can you get the perspective here? God talking to you from heaven. A host of friends up there salute thee. Marilyn, we lost a good one here lately, didn't we? Whole host of them. 75, I'm getting more of them up there all the time.
That's right. Yeah.
But the greatest friend of all is the friend of friends. He says, I look forward to seeing you. Face to face. Somebody ought to write a song about it. Yeah, amen. Face to face. You know, sometimes we get kind of selfish. Have a funeral and lost love, you know, a loved one that saved, but we're going to lose their friendship. How many of you know Dave Disney, missionary to Chile? Dear friends, he fought cancer for the best part of 8 years. He just lost the battle last week, and I think he's like 67 years old. I know all of you know Brother Richard King, dear friend, dealing with Alzheimer's. I said, you know, we see through a glass darkly. I can't understand it. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth labor. We need more folks in the harvest. And we got good ones that are in there and doing a great work. And God allows them to go home. I say, Lord, I don't get it. Well, here's part of getting it. He said, well, I love them too. Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Remember when he's walking with Enoch? He said one day, come on, Enoch, this has been good. Why don't you just come on home with me? Come on, we get a little selfish. We want them here. God wants them there. One day we're all going to be there. I'm telling you, it can't be long. About every day I say, Lord, this would be a great day for you to come. I want him to come when I'm preaching. I'm going to go up like that. One day he's coming. Come on.
Amen.
He promised. He's coming.
Amen.
And it's all going to be good. Yeah. So all this, we call it a love letter. Well, it is. Because these are things God cares about in our life. Your worth, your personal welfare, your walk in the truth, your church relationship, your stand against ungodliness, your companionships, the shortness of time, and the sweetness of eternal fellowship. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your